It's only been a week since Melbourne band Amyl and the Sniffers released their scalding second album, Comfort to Me, but it's already being hailed as one of the best albums of the year. Angry, loving, life-affirming, Comfort to Me is a meteor of an album, one that sees the band at the very top of their game. So naturally, we're super pumped to welcome singer Amy and drummer Bryce from the band to the Tuck Shop on 2SER. G'day, Amy and Bryce.
Hello, how are you guys?
Hi, how you going?
We're so good. So thank you so much for joining us on the Tuck Shop. It must have been a whirlwind of a week since the album's been out, and the reaction's been huge. How are you guys feeling about it? What's it feel like to have it all out in the world?
Yeah, he's pumped, eh? I'm stoked. Like, kind of didn't really hit me until Friday or Thursday. Then I was like, holy shit, this is happening.
You're getting feature albums. It's going to hit the charts, and you know, it's going to be exciting to see how it all goes. You know, releasing an album this time when you can't play it live must be frustrating, but you know, is it still got the same buzz?
Yeah, it's still super exciting. Like, I'm over the moon, and we've been working on it for so long, and you know, it was such a rough year for everybody in different ways, and so it's just so nice to finally have something to celebrate. Even though we can't play live, it still feels, it's just exciting to share it with everybody and everything.
You said in interviews, I'm going to dive right into the album to talking about it because it's just so incredible. So let's just get stuck in. You know, you said in interviews before that you needed to make a whole new thing with this record. Can you elaborate what you meant by that?
I don't know what I meant at the time, but I think if I'm to speak for past Amy, I was probably saying something along the lines of just like, you know, proving ourselves as what we are now. Like, we've been playing live for so long, and I really just feel like everybody, like the boys and I, have just stepped up, like, musically and lyrically and stuff. And so we probably just wanted to represent that a little more, and to, like, show, I guess, just like show off what we learned along the way kind of thing.
How long have these songs been kicking around? So when did you start pulling the album together? What was the process like?
I think we started writing it around September 2019. We just come off the back of touring a bunch, and we moved in together with the idea to write, not realizing what was ahead of us. So we just started writing it around then. I think the first couple of songs were actually Guided by Angels and Security, and Hurts were all written before the pandemic even existed. But, you know, so we were writing over the bushfire, that terrible bushfire season in Australia, writing through COVID kind of stuff and COVID times and all that crap. So, yeah, a bit of a whirlwind, that's for sure.
Moving in with your band is a pretty, you know, you spend a lot of time with your bandmates already on tours and writing, and actually living with them as well. How'd that go? How's it been? Did just not kill each other?
Nah, we all love each other, and because we tour around so much, like, we're so used to each other, like, everyone's seen the worst side of everyone, and like I've said a bunch before, I'm easily the most annoying, so it was fine for me.
What's the most annoying traits of the bandmates, you know, anything that, you know, you have to pull each other up on?
They're all pretty petty. Like, the only kind of annoying things is, like, I remember Gus saying once after a really long tour, he's like, I'm sick of everyone. I hate the way they walk.
What? Rich from Gus.
Yeah,
he
Rich.
Stamped, yeah. He would stamp around the house when he walked. It was like, boom, boom, boom.
But it's all just stuff that, like, it actually isn't a problem. It's only a problem because you become one person.
They're just foibles.
Yeah. You learn to love them after a while, right?
Nah.
You were just mentioning how the band has sort of stepped it up musically, and I think this album just shows because it's really tight, it's really powerful. There's some great production on there. Bryce, the drums are tight as, the bass is driving it, and some of those guitar solos are just ridiculous. Whilst the first album was just as rocking, there certainly has been some changes for the second one. What can you tell us about that, Bryce?
Well, the biggest thing was that, like, the first record we recorded straight off the back of a 2-month tour, I think. We were all, like, real knackered, just kind of wanted to get home. But instead, we spent 2 weeks in Sheffield in the pouring rain, England. So just, like, having the time and, like, the comforts of home as well, doing it in Melbourne, made such a difference, for sure, yeah.
How about you, Amy? Was there anything you did different with the second one, learnt along the way?
Well, I think doing demos was a big level up for us, which is something so obvious, but it actually just it really helped. Hear what the song sounds like and hear where we can do better and stuff like that. But I think mainly as well, just, like, you know, we're all growing up a little bit and I'm growing up a little bit, so it's like I can just see the world from a larger larger kind of perspective or whatnot, which really helps with lyrics, I think.
You're the kind of band to test material out on the road, and there wasn't that opportunity this time. So how did that change the process of songwriting, and how did you get through that?
I think just mainly just, just like practicing more, but just every other album we'd done or like recorded song, we kind of were using it as fuel to play live more. So it'd be like, oh, our set's only 10 minutes. We better chuck in another EP so we have a longer set or stuff like that. Whereas this one, we just kind of focused on trying to make a record that we're all really proud of. So we just like moved the energy to somewhere different.
As Mick mentioned before, obviously live music is not really happening in a lot of places around the country at the moment. How are you dealing with that, and what plans are in place? You know, how soon can we see you out on the road pending, you know, everything?
I can tell you that we're going to be doing a live stream on that everyone can watch if they want on the 5th of October.
Hey!
You can get tickets to that. We're going to do the album from the top to the tail. So hopefully we can squeeze a couple of practices in so not too sloppy for you. But nonetheless, that's what we're looking forward to because, we haven't been able to play at all, as nobody really has. And aside from that, we've just got a bunch of stuff penciled in. So hopefully we can do them. And if not, we'll just... buy PlayStations or something.
You were mentioning, Amy, that you dived a little bit more into a whole bunch of different feelings and you're talking about love lives. If you're talking about walking home safely, you're talking about pushing your way to the front of a gig. Yeah, there's a lot of different themes going on in this record. Was that a different experience sort of for you for writing like that in that way? I feel like you've opened up a lot more on this record than you did previously.
Yeah, I think like, again, that's just something with getting a bit older or whatever, because I've always just wanted to try and be as authentic to whatever I am at the time. And I guess like at the time of the last record, it's like I was just less open and more just like staunch and fast and like whatever. But over the last couple of years or whatever, I've just softened up a fair bit and I'm just happy to share that and just be honest about it or whatever. And maybe I'll even get softer again, or maybe I won't. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, you say you get softer, but then you got a crack like Capital, where you're getting angry. You're talking about, you know, I guess in the capital of Australia being Canberra, or the politicians. There's a lot of political messages in that song. And, you know, was that anger directed in any way in particular, or just in general, like the crap we see every day?
Just the crap we see every day, really, because it is, there's so much crap. And, you know, I never really acknowledged it in music before, but there's just so many different things which are actually just insane. And like, you know, I felt pretty cynical about society and the world over the last like year and a half, and just how ridiculous it is and how crap we treat other people and how many bizarre double standards there are and everything. So that's just, yeah, I guess just thoughts that were running around in my head. Comfort to me, what does that even mean? What reason do we persevere? Existing for the sake of existing, meaning disappears. Meanwhile, I only just started learning basic politics. Meanwhile, they sexualize my body and get mad when exploited. It's just for capital. Am I an animal? It's just for capital, capital, capital. But do I care at all?
You have mentioned kind of the bushfire crisis as being a bit of a launching off point, which is interesting because I think a lot of artists that we've spoken to have referenced that as being a big turn. What pushed you to write about what was happening? And Capital came out of that, the song, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I guess, I can't remember properly now, but it was just such like a crazy time and so stressful. Like, if everyone remembers just wearing masks for the smoke that was around in Melbourne before we even had any kind of like whispers of COVID. So that was really just like, I felt pretty just heartbroken thinking like, well, I guess we're all just going to burn to death in the next 6 months and that'll be that. Like, that's literally how I felt, and just pretty hopeless at that point in time. And all the bands were working so hard to raise money for bushfire victims. It really felt like the government was doing nothing. I mean, Scott Morrison was in Hawaii, the Gronk, and like, you know, it just was upsetting and stressful and powerless feeling. And so I guess as a result, that song came about, and it just kind of grew over time throughout the pandemic and that as well.
I have to, this is a bit of a left turn, but I have to ask you about the track Snake, because you reference working at the IGA in Mullum, which is very familiar to me because I grew up about 10 minutes from Mullum.
Ah, did you? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in, you know, Federal Goonangerry in the hills there. Yep, and I was right there.
That's sick.
I couldn't actually believe that you referenced the IGA. I was like, oh my God. Is there something about...
I was telling you for 4 years.
Been there, mate. Would have been there. Is there something about growing up in like that small town environment that just imbues you to, you know, go fuck shit up elsewhere? You've said that you wanted to leave the IGA and build the empire.
I did say that. I don't know. I guess I was just always like a bit of a bull in a china store, like in just in terms of like an energy way. Like, you know, I just always want to experience more and want more and like want to see more and like try more and push myself more. So I guess that's, you know, like the axolotl, you can only be as big as your environment, so to speak. So I don't
know. That was beautiful.
I love that comparison. You needed to get it to the big city or the bigger places to expand.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. Hey, Bryce, on this record, there was some tracks which you would say were epics for Amel. There's a 3:47 track in Security.
It's a marathon.
It is a marathon. Punk is traditionally short and sharp, but do you enjoy doing the longer tracks or do you find yourselves wanting to stop earlier because you're so used to the short ones?
I think we're trying to write longer songs. We're really trying.
We're trying.
You write, the first two EPs had 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, and then you kind of realize that you can't fill a set with that because otherwise you'd be playing 40 songs. you want to try and change up the way you sound all the time. So you got to be looking for different avenues of writing. But I do enjoy longer songs. I'm getting fitter, I hope.
It's so funny as well, like the amount of times we've been writing a song and we'll be like, oh, let's time it and see how far we've gotten. And we think it's like the longest song ever. And then you look and it's like 2 minutes and 5 seconds.
I thought that was Security when I first heard it, actually, because sort of the refrain comes back at the end after the amazing solo. And I was like, oh, wow, this song feels like it's gone for like four and a half minutes. And yeah, it's like 3.5 minutes, which is like the standard length of most songs. It's like, oh, okay. But Amel's long, so you know.
Exactly.
So I like the idea though. I mean, you're right, you go to gigs and I've seen you guys live a few times and you just pump through the songs. I mean, and I always wanted longer sets, but of course you play 20 songs, that's 40 minutes, you sort of die, you know, done. That 20 songs is a lot. it's interesting that you talked about playing live. But I think the guitar solos in this record really give you that space to go, we're going to bang in these guitar solos and make them epic. And some of it, I mean, on Hurts, that guitar solo just blows me away. And yeah, you guys sit back and just go, whoa.
Yeah, he's a machine. Also, he'd be very happy to hear that, so we'll pass that on. But yeah, Deck's a machine and he loves his solos and he loves his rock and roll and he's unapologetic about it, just fucking twiddles away and just, yeah, impresses everyone.
Now, I wanted to ask Amy, because the band's got a really big commitment to inclusion for women in the hard rock and punk scene. And there's obviously a huge influence from great old Australian bands as well, and punk bands. But some of their lyrics in the past, you know, not quite as progressive as you would see in today's climate. Do you ever find yourself having to reconcile the band's influences with today's expectations?
Sometimes it's tricky because, yeah, you do listen to music that we all love or whatever, and they're just talking about women like all they are is a pair of titties or something. And it's quite, you know, distressing because you're like, well, I love this music and I know what I am and it's not that. But you just, I guess it's like, it's also pretty easy to cater to the fact that it was a different time and they didn't have all the knowledge and, you know, kind of awareness that we do now. And it's kind of, we can make space for it by being like the in-between of both, like kind of going like, we love that all that stuff. Like I love Rose Tattoo, They're questionable. I love them. I love their music. So it's like I can just like, you know, be pass the baton down in our own kind of like inverted way or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. And look, I think Hard-On's played with Rose Tattoo or did a tour like a couple of years ago, and Hard-On's were the same. I said, look, we don't always agree with what Angry has to say, but we're there for the music, and we still respect them as a band. And you know, I think that's what sort of what you're coming from as well.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, obviously it would be awful to be on the firing end of stuff like that, but I feel like in an ideal world that it's like that would kind of influence them in a way. Like maybe they're just like a bunch of old dudes who don't know yet, and they just need like someone to be like, hey, actually, that's a bit crap. Or I don't know, something like that. I don't know exactly. You know what I mean?
Well, that question actually came from a listener, my mate Sean, and he wanted to say that he thinks you're the best since Bon Scott. So, and he's a massive AC/DC fan. So there's a huge compliment for you.
Thank you.
I'd love to ask you, you know, you've talked about how this is such a big step for all of you guys in the band in terms of your skills and your songwriting and the musicianship. What do you think's evolved the most for both of you in terms of, you know, your own performance and the band's performance?
Definitely for my own performance, I just kind of realized that I don't need to play it like 100% 24/7. You know, there's things I can do which will be just as effective or more effective on a drum kit if I just dialed it back by 20% or something. And that just kind of came with maturity, I think, you know, like touring the world and seeing other bands and stuff and just absorbing all that kind of information. Definitely, like, yeah, had a massive influence on the way I play now.
Who are you, Amy?
It's hard to know just one or two things, but probably something along the lines of what Bryce just said. I just am learning from what he just said now, so that's cool to know. But, yeah, I don't know, there's lots of things. I think just having the space to kind of work on it and twiddle on it. And yeah, and that, like this one, I guess I like would write down the lyrics and see what I've written and then like move it around almost like it was like a math puzzle, you know, like finding the exact right spot for each word, like it was a number in like an algorithm. That's what it felt like to me. So that was kind of different to this, like even though there were songs that were spontaneous and written with that same energy or written in the studio, there was also the element of kind of, I guess, just thought process.
Yeah, I think you can definitely see that. And the lyrics, you know, I see a lot of thought behind the lyrics in all of the songs. And it's almost a theme for every song. And you've really sort of thought about where to put them. And then just yell fuck every now and then. And it sounds amazing.
Yeah, that's punk rock.
A little bit of backing vocals as well from the boys in this one. Was that sort of trying to get you guys singing a bit more? Are you going to feature any songs, Bryce?
I did a couple of backups. I screamed something. I don't know. I can't remember what it was in Don't Need a C word. Can I say that?
It's community radio. All good.
I can't. Can't. yeah, but I don't know. I can't. Oh, no, we did. We did some in No More Tears as well, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that was actually my idea, I think. We were doing like, ooh, like those kind of ones.
Love it.
See if you can hear it.
Perfect. I live for the backups. The backups are everything.
The backups. Well, we better get close to wrapping it up, but I really appreciate your time today. I think, you know, if anyone loves Australian music, and that's what our show is all about, Australian music, they will hopefully go out and listen to your record and just be hit with just a wall of amazing music. And look, I can't wait to see you live again. I think it's just going to be one of the highlights of opening up is knowing that Amel are waiting to do a live gigs, because I'm sure you just guys are busting. Of course, you're probably looking forward to touring because you're going big guns overseas as well. So I'm really excited to see how you go overseas as well. But make sure you get up to Sydney soon and give us a gig.
Hell yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for joining us, Amy and Bryce, Amel and Sniffers.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys. Do SER, right?
Do SER.
Yeah. See you guys.
Bye. Yeah.